Take your Bibles, if you would, this evening. We'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. We've been studying verse by verse, chapter by chapter, through the book of 1 Corinthians on Wednesday evenings and enjoying the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. And we'll start reading in verse 17. The Word of God says there, "Now this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you. I partly believe it, for there must be also heresies among you. And they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What, have ye not houses to eat and to drink in, or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not." Verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which was also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me.'" Verse 26, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Well, let a man examine himself. And so let him eat that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." Verse 31, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together into condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come." Now, we started this chapter 11, three Wednesdays ago. We saw that Paul was dealing with disorder in worship service. You know, you have to understand that God's a spirit, and you're going to worship him, and you're going to worship him in spirit and in truth. And so there's no way around it. We got to approach God by truth. And what is the truth? We understand that the Word of God is truth. "Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth." When we're speaking of the Spirit, we're talking about the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit of God has a purpose. It's just not here to fulfill space in the Bible. Jesus said, "It's expedient for me to go away," in the book of John, "so the Comforter could come." And we know that according to that passage, talking about the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit of God moves into a believer and seals them, and they become a child of God. And so when you approach God in worship, you're going to approach him, first of all, in truth, because to have the Spirit of God live inside you, have had to have truth presented to you. You have to have truth. Without the Word of God, there is no way that no one can be born again. We have truth. And the Bible is, this is written unto you in John chapter, 1 John 5:13. This is written, truth, that you have eternal life if you believe upon him. And so, you approach him in the Spirit because truth has been given to you, and it sets boundaries. It allows us to know what is right. The Spirit of God bears witness with my spirit that I am His child, and the truth is my absolute guideline. And so there was some disorder in the worship service there in the church at Corinth. And we looked at that disorder, at Paul's charge to them about following him and being following him as he was a follower of Christ. And then there was a disorder in the way of authority, you might say. And God gave us a headship, and you know, God being the head over all, Christ head over man, and those are our umbrellas there, and we looked at that last week. Well, then Paul moves into a very, very important doctrine. It's talking about the Lord's Supper. There's two ordinances for every local New Testament church. You cannot find any more in Scripture, and that's what we need to go by. You don't need to call something an ordinance because a group of men decide one day that this is what we're going to do. We go into Scripture and we find out what God has ordained for a pattern and sit down before us. And of course, baptism being an ordinance of the church and the Lord's Supper being the second ordinance of a local New Testament church. Well, there was problems in there simply because they tried to observe the Lord's Supper while in the midst of great division. Look there in verse number 17, if you would, verse 17. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. Hold your place there and flip all the way back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And Paul addressed this in the very beginning of this book. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 3. Paul said there in 1 Corinthians 3:3, "For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" So there's a problem in partaking of the Lord's Supper here in the church at Corinth. Remember, this was a real church. This wasn't an imaginative thing. This was a local body of believers. The 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 says, it's written unto the church at Corinth. Now, years ago, this area around us was owned primarily, I understand, by the Locke family years and years ago. And then, of course, they sold it off to other people. And that's Locke is where we got Locke Haven from that family. And so it's a polite thing in history. The church at Corinth, you can go back and you can find it throughout history. We just had our 63rd anniversary here at Lock Haven Baptist Church last month. And there's history there. It's not something imaginative. It's something that is real. So the church at Corinth is real. And the Apostle Paul is writing to it. And we take it as a pattern. We look at it as a pattern because this is how God asked that church to operate. And so we don't make up our own rules as we go along. We have rules. The worst fun, not the worst fun, the first thing that takes fun out of any game is when one of the players decides to make up their own rules. I mean, that really bothers me when I'm playing kickball and I'm winning 8-0 and all of a sudden they say, well, if you make 10 runs, you've got to let us keep for again. What? Man, I'm not into slaughter or mercy. Let's keep going until it's 40-0. No, I'm just kidding there. The best way to play when you're playing a game like that is friendly is just set some rules and stay with it. But you know what I'm talking about. You know, and in relationships, all of a sudden we make up rules halfway, 5, 6, 7 years into the relationship. That's not a good thing. Not a good thing at all. So it wouldn't be a good thing for God all of a sudden after 2,000 years of history of the church at Corinth and how He told them to operate about and say, well, by the way, let's just change it. That would cause confusion. And what does the Scripture say? God is a God of order. It's not a God of confusion. So he said, listen, there's division. And when they're trying to partake of the Lord's Supper and there's divisions, there's going to be problems. Why would they be problems? Because divisions will lead to verse 19. Verse number 19 says, and there must be also heresies among you. It's just a downward spiral. And when there's divisions and strife, you remember what it said in 33? You're carnal, you're envy, you're divided, there's strife within you. Well, when you're coming together to take a solemn ordinance such as the Lord's Supper, because it has a good meaning, I mean a good meaning. He says, do this unto remembrance unto me. It's a memorial to remember what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. And so when you partake of the Lord's Supper and you remember that if there's divisions and strifes among us, someone in our midst desiring the preeminence, desiring to have first place. You know who should have first place in our church? The Lord Jesus Christ. Not the pastor, not the song leader, not the deacons, not the Sunday school teachers, not the women's group, not the women's Sunday school class, the men's Sunday school class, but the first place, the throne of our hearts belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. But when someone rises up and they say, well, I'm going to have my way, flesh, being the fleshly man and carnal man I am, says, buy a pacifier and let them have their way. But that's not spiritual, so we can't do that. So we have to fall on our knees before a holy and righteous God and say, God, we desire unity. God, we desire unity together because we have to worship you in spirit and truth. And so as the church at Corinth came together, the Lord's Supper was in no way to be observed when there's divisions and certainly not when heresies are taking place. So there's this discord or there's this trouble here. There's this disorder in the Lord's Supper. And Paul addresses that first and then he will get into the correct way to partake of the Lord's Supper. Now listen, kids, you'll enjoy this. And if your mom and dad's ever done this, then you get to kind of cut them the little eyeball. Has your mom and dad ever got onto you individually and you didn't know the complete task that should be taken, should be handled? They just assumed you knew. For instance, they wanted you to clean the car. Well, in their mind, cleaning the car would be washing it, vacuuming it out, drying off the windows and cleaning the windows with Windex and getting everything out of the trunk, all your baseball gloves, your football cleats, and all your McDonald's wrappers that you stick underneath the seat and all that. That's what they're thinking. But they just tell you to clean the car. Well, you go out there and get a hose pipe and a bucket of water and you clean the car and clean out the trunk and man, it looks clean to you. And they come out there and they really give you the right act. I mean, they get on to you really good. And you say, well, hold up, Mom, Dad, I didn't know that you meant I need to vacuum also. You said clean the car. God here addresses the problem and gives them the problem, and then gives them the solution. We need to be very careful, church, that when we're dealing with one another, when we're dealing with husband and wife, we're dealing with sons and daughters, we're dealing with relationships, we're dealing with society, that we know that they know everything that we are expecting in a situation. We got to quit assuming. Assumption causes all kind of problems. All kind of problems. And you assume, well they ought to just know. Well, they may ought to just know. But we have to make sure they're clear on that. I remember when I was in the Army and whenever the drill sergeant desired for us to have an inspection, he told us everything he wanted done. everything, and we got at it. And they come along, they inspected it all, and when he found a problem that he had told us, then he corrected it real fast. He destroyed everything that we did right and said, now do it again. I'm going to tell you something. They were doing the Lord's Supper wrong. So the Lord began to deal with them about it. The Lord's Supper was not to be observed with open heresies in the church there under no circumstances. Under no circumstances. For instance, we're going to plan to have the Lord's Supper and sometimes here in the future. We got it laid out, and I talked to the deacons. I said, look, get the stuff ready, get everything done. 5:30, we're going to have our special service. Our members are going to come together, and we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper. We're going to have the Lord's Supper. Well, 3 days prior to that, we find out that two of our Sunday school teachers have been teaching that there is salvation by water baptism. Salvation is in Christ alone. Not in water baptism. Baptism has its place. So we approach them. Hey, you know, why are you teaching this in the Sunday school class? Because the scripture is very plain that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that was a sufficient sacrifice for the atonements of man's sin. For all sins are paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, by faith in Him, repentance toward God. And so we say, well, it's just something that we thought would be good to tell because it's just something that that matches what we believe. Well, hold up. What you believe does not match what the Bible believes and what the Bible teaches. Well, we don't go straight on into having the Lord's Supper. Why? Because there's heresy in the midst of the church. We have to correct that. You don't have to, hey, guys, we have to hold up. We got some problems. This is what's going on here. They had turned the Lord's Supper into a festival of a feast. I mean, one was eating drumsticks, and another one was having a gallon of juice, and this one was getting a small cup, and this was getting a large cup. It became a bunch of disorder. And Paul said, "Hold up, we got to deal with this right now." They were very selfish. They had turned it into a gluttonous situation. Look at verse number 20. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in, or despise ye the church of God, the shame, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. Now, what's the elements of the Lord's Supper? The cup, the fruit of the vine, and unleavened bread, and that's it. You're not coming to have a meal, the Lord's Supper. You're coming to remember what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. And you know what? There's no excuse for doing it wrong because Jesus instituted it Himself. Paul goes right back to when Jesus started it. When He started it. So there's heresy, there's division, and just a riotous... it's like one of our normal food fellowships over there is what it was. It was all about them, and they missed the purpose. They were filling their bellies, their appetites, when it was to bring remembrance, a memorial of what Jesus had done for us. So they miss it. Paul said, hey guys, you have to get a hold of yourself. Look at verse 22. What? I mean, the latter part, the very last part. Shall I praise you in this? Paul said, I praise you not. I praise you not. He was getting on to them. He was correcting them. He was correcting them in love. Next week, we're going to pick up in verse number 23. going. I wanted to go on all the way through it, but we have a small matter of business we have to handle for the this evening. But we'll get into much greater detail in the origin of the supper and the meaning of the unleavened bread, the meaning of the cup, and what it's looking back toward. And we look back toward the death of the Lord Jesus Christ so we can look forward to His coming. Oh, even come, Lord Jesus. Well, it's a difficult time to live nowadays, isn't it? Just as difficult in the day of Noah, wasn't it? That was a long time ago, wasn't it? But he made it, didn't he? How'd he make it? Trusting in God. It's all about your faith in God. You can't have faith in society. Society and cultures change left and right. I mean, they change left and right. And most of the time when it's changing, it's for selfish reasons, not for the good of the people either. And it's, you know, economy's bad. Jobs, I mean, people are working two or three jobs just to try to make what they used to make 10 years ago. It's difficult. Difficult. That's what happens whenever, now this is just a little free stuff here. When you put your money and your economy before God Almighty, He makes your Dagon fall over, don't He? He makes your little idol fall. And that's what's happened. God's, listen, God's not against us having things. He's blessed us. He runs our cup over. But when it comes before Him, He says, hey, I'll just turn the devourer loose over in Malachi. You can read about that over there. So it's a difficult hour to live in. Put stress on family, stress on kids, stress on mom and dad. Listen, kids, listen to me. Listen to preacher for a minute. Your mom and dad don't want you to do without. But sometimes they just don't have it to give. So what do we do during that time? We just say, hey, Mom, Dad, I love you anyway. I know I can't have them new Reeboks right now, but I love you anyway. That's not how most time it goes, is it? They lock up in their room, put their iPod on, their earphones deep down in their brain. Mad. Not understanding that Dad and Mom's got to work 45, 50 hours just to each just to make ends meet. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer.